If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.
Career Corner
on Kaya Biz.
Yep, time to talk all things to do with careers, and it's a new year, new month, fresh energy, and maybe you're feeling energized to say, you know what? I want to go back into the job market. Well, what does it look like for 2025 and what opportunities exist? Well, we're touching base with Paul Byrne, Head of Data Insights and Customer Success at PNET. Paul, such a pleasure to speak to you again, sir, and happy 2025 to you.
Giggoletti, our first chat of this year. I'm also super excited. And to you and to all our listeners as well out there listening right now, I wish you a successful 2025 too. It's a year that feels like it should be filled with opportunity.
Yeah, definitely. I'm excited about it, Paul, if I'm very honest with you. I think there's a lot more great prospects that might exist for many of us. But that might be something that many of us are sharing, especially when it comes to the job space. And perhaps before we get into 2025, it's always important to also just reflect on 2024. And when we spoke to you last year, there were many themes bubbling under around career opportunities. So was, I guess, 2024 a great year in terms of the interesting insights and nuances that we see in the job space in South Africa?
Galetti, I think one word best describes last year, and that is volatile. When we're looking at the jobs economy, it was up and down. We started really slowly through January and February last year, alarmingly so. Although, like we've discussed before, that was probably off the back of sort of really negative sentiment in the market, lots of load shedding, high interest rates, poor consumer demand. Then we sort of picked up a little bit of a glimmer of hope into March and April. And of course, then we had the elections. And over the years that I've been in this industry, every time we come into that cycle of elections, we see the impact that it has on the jobs market. I think every employer, whether they consciously do this or not, takes a step back and says, wait, let's see what's going to actually happen with the outcome of this election. Most of the time has been known, and yet somehow these companies have just slowed down and making sure that they've just considering their different options when we come out of the elections. And of course, last year we then had the follow on of the formation of the GNU, and that delayed what I was looking forward to in terms of this acceleration of the job market that I honestly expected. We saw some, again, glimmers of hope into September, a bit in October, but November numbers are down again, which is really peculiar for me because every other sentiment is up again. Business sentiment is up. We've had no load shedding over the course of last year. We've got consumer spending that I think has been still relatively flat, but I'm hoping and I'm expecting, and going back to what you and I have just said, we've got that feeling that things are starting to look up. And as soon as that consumer spending starts to release, that's the opportunity for companies to start really getting back to the business of doing business. And it's when they do that, that we'll start to see the improvement in the hiring economy once again. But let's, as much as I've said that, and it might come across quite negatively, the facts are there are jobs in the market.
Yeah.
It's where are those jobs? What are those jobs? What are the jobs that are coming up most often? And if we look across our PNET platform, we probably advertised in the region of 25,000 different jobs during the course of, let me try that again. Let me not undersell ourselves, 250,000 jobs during the course of last year. So it's a high number. It's a very high number across all different type of job sectors. Now, what we've done and where we normally have this conversation on radio is about the job market trend reports that we put out into the market. And earlier today, we released our December version of that. And in that, we've started to unpack what are those jobs that we can see are just constantly recurring. And I think there's some positive news within that.
I certainly am excited about this because it really helps us understand that the opportunities are there. And the report that you've put together has beautiful infographics that not only takes us into different sectors like business and management, finance, IT, admin and office support, but it also gives us a perspective around understanding the experience level and the talent pool, the size of the talent pool and which parts or spaces might be oversaturated and the likes. But maybe let's start off with the top three key sectors. It seems as though business and management continues to take the lead here in terms of opportunities that might exist.
Very much so. And we've seen this actually quite a lot throughout the last few years, in actual fact. And I think it really comes down to what, you know, a lot of the books that we read and the sort of information that's available about businesses talks about is, you know, finding those right people to come in to manage businesses and help them grow. And that, frankly, is a skill that's actually quite in short supply. There are not that many great managers out there. Mm-hmm. And let's also be very clear that a leader is not necessarily a manager. So there's a whole new in terms of this type of conversation, but business management skills and that ability to actually understand the vision of a business and then translate it into the actions that need to take place and then making sure that those actions are really delivered is a really, really important skill. So business management skills tend to top the bill often in terms of the data that we do and we provide. But the importance of sales is such that without your salespeople and good salespeople, you're just not going to get your products and services out to the market. And it's no good going and just telling people about what it is that you do. You've got to identify the need and really sell the value of what it is that you've got that's going to make people's lives easier, whether it's, again, a product or a service. And again, those skills are sometimes quite hard to come by. And a lot of organizations across the globe, in actual fact, battle with this type of skill. And yet, I believe it's one of those professions, sales specifically, that are almost future-proof. Because, yes, we've spoken and we've heard about sort of the rise of AI in the sales environment and how robots are starting to potentially have the opportunity to sell to us. But at the end of the day, that opportunity to actually listen to a person and believe in what it is that they're selling for the reasons that they want you to buy the product and it's going to sort out the issues that you've got is going to be a really, really important career going forwards. And even looking at, in actual fact, the World Economic Forum released its new job report earlier today. Yeah. But I think it was last year that was talking about actually sales and account management being some of the top skills that are going to be looked for out into the future again. Gotcha. So, yeah, very much so. That continues to be big. And then, of course, the finance side of things. Yeah, without the financial brain behind an organization, things can go south very quickly. Mm. So you need astute people that need to understand how to run a business and ask the right questions in terms of profitability, cash flow, growth projections, target achievement, and all those other keywords that we'll probably hear in a whole lot of business-related lectures. Mm. You need those people. They need to be guiding the managers and the business leaders or directors in terms of what it is that they have to really think seriously about.
I also took a look at more detail in terms of the different sectors and the job opportunities that exist, primarily when it comes to experience levels, which are very high, but limited in terms of the talent pool. And I was so intrigued to see that not only investment analysts, infrastructure consultants, nurses, electricians, civil engineers, and even those who operate within the technology space of being business architects are actually in very short supply in South Africa. So that's quite interesting in terms of the need that we have in our local market.
It's interesting in the need, and it's worrying about the future because a lot of those top skills are being exported. But I think also on the converse side of it is that we're not qualifying enough people to actually come into the market with these new skills. And I know that there was some talk about the general drop off in the volumes of engineers that have been that have graduated over the last year, and that's quite worrying in terms of where we need to be going as a country and the type of skills that we must develop here in South Africa to make sure that we can participate in the global economy. Because let's face it, it is becoming that global economy. And there's so much that we can offer just based on the size of our population as we go forwards into the next decade, 2 decades, 3 decades, or whatever the case may be. But bringing it all back to what you were talking about now, this report, and if you don't mind, I think I should probably sort of mention it's the PNEP. .co.za Sure. Job market trends report. And I would encourage our listeners to go out and actually find it on the PNET website. Go to the link that we say for recruiters, and under know-how, you'll see all the job market trends that we've got, trend reports that we've got, because there's a lot of detail that we could talk about this evening. And I think we could quite easily lose people in that detail. So I'm going to sort of pick out a few things and obviously with your guidance, get into some more detail around things. But the fundamental that we're looking at in terms of this really comes down to where we find ourselves at the this time of the year. You've already spoken about sort of it's the time of year where a lot of people look to get back into the job market, or for a lot of professionals and people that are already in the job market, they're looking at their goals and aspirations for the next, whether it be 3 years, 5 years, and they're starting to look for jobs too. And on top of that, we've got the matriculants that are coming into the job market, and of course, all the new graduates as well. So it's this whole sort of hive of activity that we see. We call it the seasonality of the start of the year, where once the schools go back, so we haven't quite hit that peak yet, but from next week, we can imagine that the job volumes that we see across our websites are just going to start increasing exponentially. So it's with that in mind that we started looking at this and saying, right, okay, if we're going to help people think about the type of jobs that they should be looking for and where their experience exists and the ease of getting those jobs, then we need to look at the age-old sort of definitions of saying, right, well, there are influences of competition in terms of how many people are out there that are likely to be looking for the same job that I'm going to be looking at, looking for. And yeah, is it another 10 people or is it another 1,000 people? Or for that matter, in some cases, we see some jobs on our websites, especially for more junior roles, you're getting applications up to 3,000 or 4,000 people, which is really extraordinary. But coupled with that, we need to look at the experience and saying, right, okay, there are those jobs that might be, there might be lower competition, and we call that in the talent pool, but there might be either a very high experience level required for that role or actually a low experience level. Now, low experience doesn't mean low skilled. Okay, so let me make that very clear. Low experience has just been, I'm coming into this role, and you know, you mentioned nursing. We define this as a low experience level because once I've trained and I've got the skill and getting into it, I can get into nursing relatively quickly. I don't need 3, 5, 7 years type of work experience to be able to really get into that field. I can get in there, I'm a registered nurse, whatever the case may be, and I can start actually delivering the services that I've trained to do. So a low experience level because you've got a high level of training, and there's a limited talent pool, as you correctly said earlier. Yeah. So that for me is one of those roles that we need to look at, and somehow we need to be getting communication out there to say that's a really important career that we need more and more South Africans to be considering, because we know there's a short supply of nurses. Yeah. We know there's an aging demographic. We know that our nurses are getting poached to work overseas, left, right, and center. And where does that leave us in 5 or 10 years' time as we ourselves get an aging economy and an aging workforce or population and need more nurses to take care of us? So we've really got to get a grip on that type of career and saying, how are we going to do that? But yeah, that then goes back across, like you said, information technology. Yes. If we're looking at systems and network administration, low experience level required. As long again as I've got the basic skills to get into that job, there's a moderate talent pool, and companies are continuously looking for those type of skills. I suppose you're taking a step back. What we've done in our report is we've looked across the top 11 job sectors. So we've spoken business and management, sales and finance, but we covered in the likes of IT and admin and office support and building and construction, medical and health and so on. But we then break that down into 47 other job roles. And that's why I said it's important that people actually come to our website and actually look for this report, because going through 47 roles now will take us until tomorrow.
Very true.
When we stop thinking about it. But that's where that opportunity exists. And again, going back to the sort of the relevant conversation of where matrics find themselves right now, it is what jobs do they go for?
And
there are opportunities across all of these different sectors for them.
Got you. I'm so glad that you highlighted. And as you say, this is so important. There's so much detail in this research report, and it is available on your website, as you've said, pnet.co.za. It's the latest PNET Job Market Trends Report. If you've just joined us, it's almost 20 minutes past 7 o'clock. We are in conversation with Paul Byrne, Head of Data Insights and Customer Success at PNET. Our conversation today is really phenomenal because it's helping us understand the top career opportunities in South Africa for the year 2025. And Paul, what I'm also excited to do is actually go back to another segment of your report, which actually takes a look at the winning sectors and maybe even the top five losers. And this specifically speaks to, I guess, the level of growth in terms of earning opportunity, but also growth in terms of the career projection. And maybe let's start off with the top five winners, because the sectors here are really intriguing to me. Logistics management, electrical engineering, and risk assessment seems as though those are the sexy sectors for people to actually get into.
Absolutely. And like in any economics lecture, it really comes down to the fundamentals of supply and demand. And really, if we're looking at sort of logistics management, what we've seen over the last 3 years is that the demand for your logistic managers has increased by 22%. And I don't think that's surprising. If we look at where we are in our own economy, we've got the micro delivery economy that needs logistics management. We've got e-commerce that is just all around us for any form of shopping that we actually have today. We've got infrastructure development that requires the building material to be moved around the country consistently. Supply and chain optimization, technology advancements that require sort of updated skill sets. And this is just driving that demand for a different type of logistics manager to come into the market. It's what we've seen specifically in that space is that over the last 3 years, the salaries that have been offered by customers that are our customers that are advertising those jobs have increased up to 48%. That's just in 3 years.
That's talk about beating inflation way beyond expectations, huh?
Way beyond expectations. So any one of your previous guests in terms of talking about money and investments would be impressed to actually hear that. And again, it's just, it shows the demand for that type of skill. And really just, putting that into numbers is sort of in 2021, that type of logistics management role was getting offered anywhere between 29,000 and let's call it 47,000 Rand per month. And that's increased to from the 29K to about 43,000 Rand per month to 56,000 Rand a month. So definitely there's an upward trend. And then you've got the electrical engineers, and the same thing has happened there. 45% increase in their salaries. So where an electrical engineer was getting between 34 and 42,000 Rand a month back in 2021, they're now getting offers of between 49 to 61,000. So that again is a sizable increase. But again, there's no surprise there, because if we look at where we find ourselves in South Africa, energy crisis. We've got this transition into renewable energies that needs electricians. We've again got infrastructure development that needs electricians, industrial automation, smart technologies, telecommunications growth. So the list goes on. It all requires those electrical engineers. So I'm not surprised to actually see that coming up. And again, going back to reports of the past year, often we've seen architecture and engineering as a job sector just feature as one of the top growth areas within the country at the moment. And then you mentioned risk assessment. I think there's so much in the news at the moment overseas and in LA about the fires. And you think about all the conversations around what's happening about insurance and companies that households are going to be covered by insurance. This is the space of that risk assessment. And you can see how the demand for these risk assessors are growing. Again, the salary is up 43% over the last 3 years. So where someone in 2021 was getting between 50 and 70,000 a month, they're now getting between 70 and 100,000 Rand a month. Those are, again, very specifically the offers that are sort of going out and what we can see our customers are advertising when they're advertising for that type of role. So I think with the changing global infrastructure climate and everything like that, we need to be aware of risk assessments.
100%. So that's why that's happening. Paul, there's so many other sectors that actually, provide us with so much more insight. And as you say, it's linked to what we see in the global economy, the demands within the workforce in South Africa, but also what companies are willing to put on the table. I do want us to leave this on an empowering note for many of our listeners who not only will go onto the website and download this report, but who are preparing themselves for some kind of career shift for the year ahead. And as you've mentioned, right now it's all about back to school. Once the kiddies are settled, this is when the parents and the aunts and uncles get involved and say, hold on, what do I want for the year ahead? For someone who will be making use of your platform or many other platforms that exist to actually market themselves in the jobs environment in South Africa, what key fundamentals do they need to keep in mind to make sure that they are not only entering competitive sectors, but are competitive candidates themselves?
Very much so. That's such an important question. For me, the starting point, that door opener, is the quality of that. We call it the CV. Your CV document that you put together. And I don't mean it needs to be fancy with pretty pictures and everything like that. I mean it needs to look at the key skills of how you describe yourself and experience, the skills and experience and how you describe yourself on paper, because that's what recruiters are looking for. And there are two ways that recruiters will do that. We've got the whole world now sort of aided intelligence where we can go and do some filters and say out of these CVs, and recruiters could be searching half a million CVs to put out. I want these keywords. Whom the people that I can find that are in Cape Town or Johannesburg that have this set of skills and that amount of experience. And yet it's those CVs that then speak to the skills and the experience and what has been delivered as the result of the combination of those skills and experience. In other words, what have their achievements been that will catch the interest of the recruiter? So the emphasis has to be put on building that quality CV and putting it out on platforms, whether it's ours, whether it's other platforms. That's the place that you have to be seen. That's where recruiters are going to go and find you. And so many of our platforms will also, again, have automation built in to have a look at the type of skills that you've got and the experience and then start sending you job alerts that actually match those requirements and learn from what it is that you are applying for and send you more jobs like that. And that in itself just starts this engine going of giving people the opportunity to really just wait for the jobs to come to them if they're not on the website physically looking for jobs, and using that opportunity just to, once they've got the CV created, use it to click to apply for the next opportunity.
Exactly.
It's as easy as that. And very importantly, it is worth mentioning, as a job seeker service, it's free of charge. We don't charge.
Oh.
And so they must go and use it.
100%. Definitely something for us to consider. Paul, it's always such a pleasure speaking to you, sir. Really appreciate the detail, the nuance and the context you've shared regarding this report and the passion that you continue to share for many South Africans to not only be employed, but stay employed and even find other ways of ensuring that others are employable. So thank you for your time and effort.
My pleasure. Always. Thank you
so much. That's Paul Byrne, Head of Data Insights and Customer Success at PNET. A reminder that you can download this report with the full detail of it at pnet.co.za. It's the PNET Job Market Trends Report, and it does give you amazing insight. The graphics, the pictures also help you make sense of the different sectors that you might be in, understanding the experience level that's required and how competitive the talent pool is. But key aspects that were mentioned by Paul there is, just because there's a low experience level, it doesn't mean that it's a low job. Bear that in mind. Sometimes you could be easily capacitated in terms of the skills that you acquire, but it's a very critical job that you actually need. Think of a plumber, for instance, an electrician. If your toilet is blocked, doesn't matter how many degrees you have, how many technical analyses you can do on software, you need that toilet unblocked immediately. Nurses as well, electricians that also feature. But of course, there's also a need and a demand for more specialized jobs, as he mentioned, in investment management, as well as risk assessment. But it's worthwhile for you to put your time into this research and also tell us what kind of career prospects you're looking at for 2025. Are you in the market? Are you looking to change jobs? Are you also looking to perhaps go into a different sector? And what are your key concerns if you happen to be someone who is a graduate but unemployed?
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.